Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertzi.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertzi, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to discuss how to spread your story with our guest, Seth Godin. Seth is a best-selling author more than a dozen times over. He has spoken at two TEDx events, and his blog, which gets updated daily, is one of the most popular blogs in the world. Other than family, Seth has been my greatest inspiration throughout my entrepreneurial path, and I'm very grateful to be interviewing him today. Without his impact on my life, it's very difficult for me to say whether I would be an entrepreneur or not. It is my pleasure to welcome Seth to the show.
Hey, how are you, Mark?
I'm doing good, Seth. It is such a pleasure that you made it on my show. You've been a really great inspiration for me. When you created Squidoo, among like all of your other enterprises that you've created, that's what really got me started as an entrepreneur. So I'm very appreciative of what you did for me there.
Well, I can't wait to see what you make next.
Thank you, Seth. So, I don't know if you know how I got started. A lot of it was I created a blog about the Boston Red Sox, and Squidoo was a big part of that. So that's a very big basic summary of how I got started. So I want to ask you, what got you started as an entrepreneur?
My first business I started when I was 14, selling something on the public television auction that turned into a tiny business. And then when I was 16, I built a ski club at my new high school, and we had 60 kids who paid for a year's worth of skiing at the local Buffalo ski area, and I had to organize the bus and organize the relationship with the ski area, et cetera, et cetera. So that was sort of fun and very scary, and it started a long cycle of running businesses that didn't make any money but were fun to do.
All right. So I like how you started young. I mean, that's one of the things that I did also. So I'm happy to be able to relate on that level. So when you have that path in front of you, when you're just starting out, what exactly were you thinking? Did you see many years down the road of you achieving the prominence that you have achieved? Or was this something where you took initial steps and then you started to see the potential in spreading your message?
A lot of entrepreneurs, I believe, start out not because they think it's a way to make a living, but because it's a way to make a difference. And almost everything that I did in my entire career has been based on the idea of seeing a problem, realizing that no one but me was going to fix it or try to fix it, so I might as well. And if it turns into a business, that's fine. It's very rare for me to say, I need a business. How can I make money? It's, I think, a lot more useful to say, where is there a problem? How can I be of service?
So you are arguably one of the greatest marketers of all time. And I want to ask you how you were able to achieve that level of performance where you started out, you're doing a lot of these different marketing ideas, and now all of a sudden you've written all of these best-selling books. How did you acquire all of that knowledge that has allowed you to perform at such a high level?
Well, as Woody Allen said a long time ago, 90% of success is showing up, and I show up more than most people. I have been rejected more than most people. I have failed more than most people. The first year I was in the book business, I got 800 rejections in a row. That means that every time I opened the mailbox, there was between 2 and 6 rejections waiting for me every day, day after day. You only learn this stuff by doing it, and I've been doing it for a really long time.
So you've gotten a lot of different rejections, but by pushing through the rejections, you were able to get to your successes. So was there any rejection or any low point within the journey that stood out that it was a really big drag, but you were able to eventually overpower through it?
Well, you know, one of the things that happens as you grow up is you need a place to live, you need furniture, you need a spouse who needs support, or a family that you want to build. And as the stakes got higher, it got harder and harder to live on macaroni and cheese, that there were definitely years where it started to feel like the grind was never going to end, where it's no longer interesting or novel to keep getting rejected. And it's possible for the biggest critic of all, you, to reject yourself. And that's what it was starting to happen. I'm very lucky that I listened to a lot of Zig Ziglar stuff, but figuring out how to dig my way out of that idea that I was pre-rejecting before I even brought an idea to the market, that was challenging.
So you mentioned about having a self-criticism towards yourself, and I feel like a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, they tend to self-criticize. I tend to do this on occasion where I'll look at everything I did for the week, and then I'll be like, why didn't I do those things that I didn't do? So what is your advice for helping people deal with the self-critiquing themselves?
I think you need an irrational approach to realize that it's the opposite of helpful, that what you really need is someone to cheer you on, that more enthusiasm is going to have a better outcome than more criticism. We don't have a criticism shortage. So every minute you're spending criticizing yourself is a minute you're undermining what you sought to do in the first place.
So you mentioned that time frame where it was years and years in which you're just going through the grind. What was the biggest source of motivation you had that helped you through that hard time and helped you get to where you are today?
Well, what I used to tell people was that I didn't want to end up being a bank teller, right? That it was very easy to go back to work when the alternative was to put on a cheap suit and go work in a bank. So I don't really think that's what it was, but that's what I told myself. What it really was my belief that I had something to offer, that I saw marketplaces and individuals who needed what I could bring them, and the most generous thing I could think to do is bring it to them.
You've brought a lot of different products to us. You've brought best-selling books. You've brought to us many training courses. And it seems like the fun thing about everything you put forth is it's not just the product itself, but it's also how you market it. So I remember reading about for Purple Cow, you had the Purple Cow milk carton. I remember for your most recent book, you used Kickstarter, otherwise Kick Finisher. So what is the most creative marketing venture you have ever done, in your opinion?
Oh, boy. The most creative one. Well, what we mean when we talk about the word creative is important. Creative does not mean beautiful, and creative does not mean weird. Creative means solving a problem in a way that surprises other people. And probably I did that when I launched Purple Cow in a milk carton, and I probably did that when I invented Yoyodyne, which pioneered email marketing. Before we did Yoyodyne, there was no such thing as ethical email marketing. So all that billions of dollars that I spent this year on it happened because we went first. And people laughed at us and people rejected us, and it took years to hit our stride, but that counts to me as a creative outcome.
So there are people who are listening to this interview right now, and they're the people who are getting laughed at and ridiculed for their idea, which can very well be an amazing idea. So what is your advice for those people who are dealing with that laughter and ridicule for their idea when they believe it's really special?
Well, I think we should start with an understanding that your idea is almost certainly terrible. Your idea is almost certainly not going to work. And that defending your idea is not your job. Your job is to solve the problem the marketplace has. And if you can solve that problem by stealing somebody else's idea, or you can solve that problem by taking someone else's advice, then you should. So we, on one hand, celebrate the bullheaded entrepreneur who sticks to her guns no matter what. But it turns out there's a lot of time when you ought to be listening to other people. What you should ignore are people who say you're never going to mount anything. You should ignore people who say it's not your turn. You should ignore people who say you should wait. But I think it can't hurt to ask fair questions about whether something resonates with people and be smart enough to listen to those answers if you're going to bother asking.
So one of the things you mentioned in your books, I was recently reading your book, All Marketers Tell Stories, and one of the things was asking better questions to get better answers. So you mentioned earlier, listen to what people say so that you can come up with better questions. Is there any other advice you have for constructing better questions?
I think the best thing to do is watch people, not ask them. The story is told of a Sony focus group that took place for a new radio that they were trying to build, $100 clock radio kind of thing. And they had a dozen or so people in the focus group, and they were all giving them feedback about the radio, about how much they like the radio, about which features they like. And then at the end of the focus group, they said, okay, we're really glad you came to the focus group. Would you rather have $20 or one of these radios? And every single person took the $20. They learned more from that than they did from the focus group. Because what it meant was that people who had seen it and touched it and cared about it didn't think it was worth $20.
Wow, that's a very powerful case study. Do you get these case studies by like just scouring different magazines or reading different books? I know you read a lot of stuff, and it's very interesting how you're able to bring up all these fascinating insights. So I'm just wondering, is it a focus on reading books, a lot of magazines? Like, how do you get all this information?
Well, I think we all have it, but most people don't pay attention to it. And I just keep track. Because when I see something that informs me, that changes the way I see the world, I say to myself, wow, this might change the way somebody else sees the world. So I save it.
So you've learned a lot of lessons throughout your journey. So I want to ask you right now, what is the best lesson you have learned throughout your journey as a marketer?
That it's a journey. The people who are your age, or the ones who act like they're your age, their instinct is that everything has to happen right now, and that tragedies feel like they're permanent, and crises feel like they'll last forever, and this project feels like it's do or die. But I was running a business 40 years ago. So I've been doing this for 40 years, 480 months, whatever that is in days, a lot. And knowing that changes the way you do your job, because you're still in a hurry, you still care a lot about the outcome, but you're also patient enough to do it properly.
So there are people listening to this podcast right now who they have a big goal, a big ambition that they want to accomplish. That would be their version of a breakthrough. So what advice do you have for these listeners who are trying to reach their next breakthrough?
Yeah, I don't think you can. I think breakthroughs happen when you least expect them, and that you are way better off looking for your next small win, looking for the next place you can be generous, looking for the next person who's going to trust you. Because if you can add one person or five people or 10 people a day to the list of people who want to hear from you, to the list of people who want to trust you, then a year from now, you're going to have 300 or 3,000 of those people, and you're going to be so much further ahead than that other guy who's hacking and figuring out some scam and hustle to try to get ahead in the short run, because it's not the short run, it's a series of short runs.
So taking all those short runs, and then you'll unexpectedly hit your breakthrough.
I think that's the way it always works.
All right, so there are people listening to this who part of their breakthrough they're going after, although it should come to you by surprise, is they want to figure out how do they get their story out to the world so that more people hear about them. So what are three tips that you have for people who want to market themselves and their products better?
I wrote a blog post called First 10. You can find it by typing First 10 into Google. And basically what it says is, tell 10 people. There are always 10 people who trust you enough for you to tell them what you're up to. If those 10 people don't tell their friends, then your idea is no good. Come up with a better idea. If those 10 people tell their friends, you're on your way.
Thank you for providing that insight, Seth. There are a lot of different marketing tips out there, but I feel like a lot of it comes back to human-to-human connection, in which you're engaging with other people and getting a feel for how they see you and your business, as long as these people are trustworthy and not just going to criticize you just for the fun of it.
Right.
So you've read a lot of Zig Ziglar books, and I know you listen to a lot of the CDs also. So I know you've come across a lot of inspirational quotes. So I ask you, what is one awesome inspirational quote you can think of right now?
I give you five letters. It's just a simple word, begin.
Wow. I mean, a lot of the inspirational quotes, they have a long string of words basically conveying messages, but begin, it's such a short inspirational quote, but it really captures the idea of just starting and creating your own ruckus.
And I can give you a shorter one, which is simply go. Two letters. I don't know if I can get any shorter than two letters.
I don't know how. I mean, it would take Houdini or someone like that to do shorter than two letters. Maybe an action, but like, the simplest things could really create the strongest message.
If you practice, yeah.
All right, so I'm very appreciative of all the time that you spent doing this interview. I'm going to give you the spotlight and let us know where we can find you on the web. I'm sure people know a lot about that already, but is there anything in particular you'd like to highlight?
Well, I wrote a book for people who are listening called Your Turn, or specifically What to Do When It's Your Turn, and you can find it at yourturn.link. You can read my 6,000 blog posts for free by typing Seth into Google.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, be sure to do that. Seth posts a lot of awesome, insightful content. I'm reading that blog every single day. Seth, thank you for taking the time to be on my podcast today. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. Keep making this ruckus. It's important.
Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. Seth Godin is my favorite entrepreneur, and I consider myself a strong admirer of his work. Seth shared many fresh insights, and I'll definitely be giving this episode a second, third, or even fourth listen. That's how great these insights are, and he really is amazing at what he does. Seth's inspirational quote was exactly what everyone needs to hear now, and that was just simply go. Breakthrough Success listeners, the best way to ensure we hit our breakthroughs is to get started, because without starting, we can't achieve any of our goals. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry, we've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markaburry.com/E16 for those. You can ask your questions over there, which I'll be happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markaburry.com/iTunes or markaburry.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markaburry.com/retweet. This podcast is a production done by Mark Gaberti. For more insights, head on over to markaburry.com.